This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What is up, Peter Peeps? Welcome into this special Sunday afternoon post-game react of the PeterCast, your number one spot for all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers, news, analysis, hot takes, and the like. I'm Steve Carney. That's Ren Dax.
Hello.
Ren, it was a much better and a much less stressful game here this afternoon than on Sunday Night Football. I know I was less stressed. How were you watching today's game?
Yeah, it was, easy peasy. This one was, was thinking at the beginning, like, I'd really like for the defense just to start off a game strong at some point. Like a three and out, or not, let the team go down and score, or, things like that. And we'll get into that, but, it's exactly what we kind of chalked it up to be. The Miami's offensive line was not good, so they kept throwing a lot of screens behind, the penetration, lots of things, lots of crosses over the middle, tons of short stuff. The problem is between, Miami and Dallas is they don't have the horses to sort of turn that small stuff. And if they get like a penalty or something like that, they get behind the sticks and they just really don't have the athletes to get in front of it. But, their defense wasn't good, just like Paul told us. What did we score? Like, what was it, 40 million points?
I think it certainly seems like it.
Yeah, and Gabbert's taking a knee like at the five at the end of the game. So, like both of us called it. Brady looked great, of course. Godwin had a big game. Mike Evans had a big game. Antonio Brown had a big game. O.J. Howard caught two passes. They threw two passes to Cody McElroy, so this one was over. Kind of come out of halftime, they made it close, got a touchdown, early third, and it was like, oh, they're within, seven, and then you look up and it's 40-17. So
yeah, it really was. For me, I thought that the most important thing for me was that they got, I think, I saw Tony Romo talking about this on television. A couple of times that the one thing that he wanted to see the Bucs do was beat up on Miami's defensive line and their front seven, because we talked earlier about Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. I really thought that if they were going to have any sort of success, the most success would have come from being able to go after the front seven as opposed to the defensive secondary. And they did a really good job of that with Leonard Fournette, with running stuff over the middle. You saw the screens. You saw Antonio Brown get a couple of screen plays. Chris Godwin had a couple of those wide receiver New England-style screen passes. And I really thought that they did a good. Like I tweeted about it. It was nice to see them target O.J. Howard a couple of times in the first half. Yeah. I think that was really important for the Bucs to be able to keep the focus away from the corners. If you can get a little more focus in the middle of the field, I thought you would have been able to have a better opportunity to then go out and drop a dime into the hand of Mike Evans, like you saw later on in the game. So
yeah, you know, it was. I don't know if Miami's corners performed as well as they were touted. Well, I can say they definitely didn't, but I don't know if they're good as they were sort of touted. You know, we went after them, and when we didn't go after them a lot, but when we did, it seemed to be a big play. Like, Mike Evans went over 100 yards, but I think he only had, like, 4 catches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was so, you know, one was against Jones, the big Antonio Brown touchdown catch was against Xavier Howard, so...
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those games I feel like we've been saying all year, like, this could get, you know, ugly early. You know, I said against the Dallas game because of their defense, their offensive line, and then I didn't really realize how good Dak Prescott was. And the Atlanta game, we're like, oh, this could get ugly early. And then next thing we know, it's like 25-21 in the fourth. It's like, what's going on?
You know,
and then with the Patriots game, this could get ugly early. And, you know, it's raining, and I don't, you know, I think everyone sort of underestimated the emotional drain it had on Brady and sort of the Buccaneers as a team, really.
Yeah.
But this one was like, it could be over early, and it was. It was, you know, like, it, as soon as Miami didn't score, it was like, okay, you know, they just pulled away and you know, ran away with it. So, nice win. No one got hurt, it looks like. You know, the defense, we'll talk about, needs some improvement and stuff, but man, easy peasy, man. Bucks win.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll get to your responses here, your reaction to a 45-17 win. If you are watching us on YouTube, check out the comments. Ren has just put in the link for you to join us here live on the PeterCast presented by BetUS.com. And we will definitely take your thoughts on what went on here today. I know I was... I was kind of curious to see how the secondary would react. Getting Jamel Dean back, I thought, was big. He ended up having that interception that came on the tip pass. Mm-hmm. I was kind of it wasn't the prettiest of games for the defensive secondary. I thought Cockrell got burned a couple of times. You saw Sherman get called for pass interference in the end zone. I thought, okay, this. I think right now it's try and tread water as best as you can until you can get Carlton Davis back, and then we'll see about Sean Murphy Bunting at some point, maybe later on this year, fingers crossed, in that area. But I think that, you know, the defensive secondary is certainly something that I wouldn't give them a game ball, but I would give them an attaboy for being able to tighten up when they needed to and not cause too many problems with the, you know, defensively.
Yeah, it's
for,
just
for Todd Bowles and company.
It should be just like in a survive and advance sort of mentality right now until we get, you know, at least Carlton Davis back. I'd really like to see a Carlton Davis, you know, Richard Sherman outside corners and see what they could do, you know, in a Todd Bowles defense. But, yeah, so it's hard to sort of bang on the secondary because they are so depleted. And, you know, at the end of the day, they only gave up 17 points. So that's really good in today's NFL, especially with a team that came in. You know, especially if you're playing the Bucs, because teams don't try to run the ball. So they're going to be throwing it a lot. And then you got a banged-up secondary and only give up, you know, 17 points. Not that big of a deal.
Nope, not at all. And before we start getting into your comments and your reaction, do want to talk about the close shave that a number of Bucks defensive players had against Jacoby Brissett, because Brissett got beat up and they had there was a chance, and I know that Tracy Wolfson talked about it on television, Brissett going to the locker room and then coming back out, so we did not get a chance to see Reed Stinnett behind the center for the Dolphins. That would have been pin your ears back, get all nice and shaved up and ready to get after it. But that is my weird transition. Yeah.
Do you practice these or?
Nope, not at
all. All right.
Couldn't tell. Yeah, we couldn't tell at all. But yes, the PeterCast is sponsored in part by Manscaped. Autumn is in the air. Pumpkins are in the patch. and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure that you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming. I love this this new copy. I think this is hilarious. I have talked a lot about my friend in the Navy who thought that the device that you use to groom your face, the same one, was the right thing to use down below. And of course, that is certainly not the case. Use Manscaped, the new lawnmower version 4.0 with its brand new ceramic safe blade, also wireless charging, longer battery life, and it is part of the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, which also comes with the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, a package of the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold the goodies, as well as your goodies. And the Performance Package version 4.0 you can get for 15% off free shipping. Again, it is Manscaped, 20% off, even better. 20% off free shipping. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code FANSIDED20 to get 20% off your order and a free shipping. Again, Manscaped, part of the PewterCast, great sponsor here for us. So again, the link is in the description on YouTube. If you're watching us live, if you are not and you are listening, well, you're going to just have to hit us up next time here on the PewterCast. But we'll get to some of your reactions here in just a matter of moments. Ren, were you surprised that Bruce Arians decided to defer here?
I've been banging on Bruce Arians since he got here that, you know, like, everyone should defer. It's the only way you can steal a possession in the NFL. It's the only way. Mm-hmm. It's the only way. Now, it's not 100% effective because you have to have the ball, you know, with a reasonable amount of time at the end of the second quarter to be able to make this thing work. But that's the only way you can get 2-for-1. It's the only way. And he continues to take the ball because, oh, I want to get out there. I mean, I know one time he made an excuse, well, I think it might have rained, it was going to rain, so I want to get the offense out there first. But all of last year, it was like, yeah, I just want to, you know, I want to get out there and set the tone. It's like, are you going to win the game 7-0? Are you going to win the game 7-0? No, you're not going to win the game 7-0. So, like, go for the 2-for-1, and you know, it would have worked out perfect. It would have been great with the Bucks today, but they ended up going 3-and-out when they came out of the kickoff. But yeah, I hope he's sort of learned his lesson. Like, somebody knows as much football as Bruce Arians. I just don't understand why he doesn't do it. I don't understand. I don't understand. There is no reason whatsoever that you can tell me that's a better reason than possibly getting 2 touchdowns without them touching the ball. Nothing outweighs that. So, was I surprised? I was pleasantly surprised.
Yes.
That he finally starting to defer. It's 2 weeks in a row.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. He deferred the kickoff. Like, I spent all of last year doing the Bucks games on the radio, and I never remember him deferring
I think he did it twice.
Yeah, he just does. That's not something he does. That's the old school. I want to get out there and ram the ball down your throat. I want to be able to give you the first punch in the mouth, as opposed to maybe giving you a couple of punches in a row.
Right, because I'm going to win the game 7-0. Ain't going to happen.
Ren is definitely a fan of the deferrals.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You have to defer.
Yeah, but then when they go down and they go up. When the Dolphins go up 3-0, and then for the Bucks to turn around and go right down the field and punch it in, I was like, "Yep, this is exactly how I expected this game to go." I expected the Miami to go to maybe move the ball, but then once the drives got down into the red zone, closer to the end zone, you were going to see the defense kind of bow up a little bit and hold them to kicks, and I didn't think that the Dolphins defense was going to be able to do that very often at all. And you saw a lot of kicks from the Dolphins and a lot of touchdown dances and celebrations in end zones for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Do you want to bring in John?
Sure, let's start with John, and that'll give folks an opportunity to get in to whoops, as I'm not in my normal setup, and I was telling Ren this off the air. My wife was doing a radio show. We live in a little one-bedroom condo, and so she was like, "Oh, it's at 3 o'clock," and I'm like, "Oh, that's perfect. That'll be perfect for me because we don't go until say 4:15 or so," and then 4 o'clock comes around, and I'm like, "She's still on the radio," and it turned out it was a 90-minute hit. So it was like great. So I'm in the other room. I'm in the bedroom, just sitting here with the stand as we get ready.
But did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy that story, John?
Story time.
I'm just lying in the deli, and I don't want to be rude.
That's right. It's our show. Damn it.
What's up, buddy?
So, anyway,
hey guys. Nothing much, you know.
Okay.
I'm actually there. I have really not much to complain about, actually, which is weird.
Why'd you call?
For the past couple weeks, it hasn't been like that.
All right, well, what'd you like then?
Offense was great. I no complaints. You know, hey, we could have ran the ball more, but Dolphins sucked against the pass, so keep passing the ball. If they can't stop it, why stop, you know?
Yeah.
So we really didn't need a run. So I can't really complain of you. There's no complaints about that. Offensive line did well. They let up a couple times, but not bad all around, you know?
I thought it was one of their worst games, but Brady being Brady, be able to get rid of the ball and, you know, their back end.
I think Brady masked it, though, how bad they were playing.
Yeah, I'm not saying they played bad. I'm just saying I thought it was out of the five games, I thought it was one of the worst ones. You know, I felt like Kappa was looking at Brady more than he should be, you know, because when he gets beat and you kind of spin around and you look at the quarterback. So
Worth was good, though.
Oh, yeah, Worth. and like, again, you know, sort of on your thread, we're like, you know, I have a lot to complain about, which is fine. You know, you're allowed to praise people too, John. But, you know, I thought the offense, yeah, I mean, you look at it, it's like Brady throws for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns and only gets sacked once. Of course you're going to think, you know, the offensive line did a great job. He was under duress, and with Brady being Brady, getting rid of the ball, of course,
especially on that Antonio Brown pass, though, he was under immense pressure when he threw that pass to Antonio Brown, and he took that all the way to the house. Goddamn.
All right, yeah, so, you know, I thought Leonard Fournette had a really nice game, running the ball, catching the ball.
Giovanni Bernard looked good, you know, when he was in.
Right. Did you notice that the first time Giovanni Bernard touched the ball was the exact same play he got hurt on?
Yep.
Yeah, so I was like, wait a minute, this is wow, that was deja vu, but this time he can injure.
That's right, good. On the same knee, too.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa. I was kind of scared for a second. I'm like, whoa, 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 no, not again.
Right. So, yeah, go ahead.
Wide receivers, they played well. Antonio Brown played well. Mike, you know, got open good times, you know. It seemed like the guy who didn't get the stats this week was kind of Chris Godwin, but even he had good spots, though. So it was like, you know, pass catching was pretty good all around, definitely better than last week. But I think that could have been – there was a couple factors last week with, like, the weather and crap, because that was bad weather freaking up Foxborough. It was all rainy and crap.
Yeah, we're not going to mention the New England Patriots game ever again.
That was weird.
I'm just so tired. I'm just so over it. Like, I'm just, I was just that week made me burnt out on like football coverage.
Defensively, care. There was a couple bends, but we didn't break though, which I like. This different from a couple weeks before. We bend, but we didn't break this time. And defense really definitely showed up a little bit more. But I think the thing was that we finally dealt with a quarterback who doesn't deal well with the pressure. Like Jacoby Brissett, we've seen him even when we faced him against a couple years ago against the Colts. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't does well under pressure. Yeah. And so really, when we put him under pressure, he didn't do well. And I think that was a good thing, that even when the defense wasn't getting home, the putting pressure on, it affected Jacoby Brissett this time. So, yeah. Which was good, which was nice to see.
It really helped. Like, he became a statue for like a quarter and a half after he sort of pulled his hammy or his quad.
Yeah,
whatever happened.
It's like he didn't want to run anymore because he's like, I don't want to pull my hammy now. I'm done.
And he wasn't stepping into it. He wasn't doing anything. And I was a little surprised that Bowles didn't start sending massive pressure sort of up the middle, like just overloading the middle, because it looked like he wasn't going to run at all. And then as soon as I'm, thinking that, okay, Bowles is going to do something about it, then it was the last touchdown they scored.
Yeah.
Brissett actually, got out of trouble like two plays in a row. He ended up getting, you can tell he didn't like it. He was really hurt and was just kind of, he was kind of limping around. And then when he got sacked, he was down again. Like, I don't even know, if he'll be able to play next week.
Hopefully Tua is back because now they're going to deal with a former Buccaneer, Reed Sinet. Buccaneer.
They're not going to have Reed Sinet. Tua comes off IR next week, so he'll be.
But remember though, Reed Sinet, he's a former Buccaneer, undrafted free agent.
Yes, we know.
We got enough of that from Tracy Wolfson, unfortunately. Let me ask both of you. The only one upsetting part of today's win was seeing Lavonte David go down.
I was
nervous, especially when you have a guy like Ndamukong Suh roll up on your ankle and roll up your leg. You're thinking, if it's an ankle, that's one thing, and especially for something like that, you're looking at the high ankle type of sprain. So. My guess would be we may see Lavonte miss, 3-4 weeks if it is a high ankle sprain. But I was really nervous because they were looking at his knee to start things.
Because it could have been like another Vita Vea injury like last year. Mm-hmm. Remember how that happened?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been like that situation. Hopefully not that situation again, where it's actually broken.
I don't know. He got up and was like walking off and was walking around on it. I mean, to be honest, I don't feel like he's going to miss a week at all. I don't think he came back in the game, but that was fine.
He didn't.
I guess Kevin Minter, time to show why we brought you back now.
Right. Yeah. And Minter's fine. He just can't cover like Lavonte. But as far as run stuffing and being in the spot where you're supposed to, he'll do that. Like he's got the defense down, and he will be where he needs to be. But if you have to count on him to sort of erase somebody,
he doesn't do that.
He can't do it. He just can't do it. You're gonna have to switch it to Devin White, which
definitely dealing with the injuries this year compared to last year. Holy crap!
Just survive in advance. The one thing about Kevin Minter is. You got to line up in the right spot on the opening kickoff, the first kickoff that you take. I was like, captain. Are you kidding me?
That was weird too. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that one at all. Like, I had to go back and take a look at that. Also, Bruce Arians said in his postgame press conference, according to Greg Allman of The Athletic, that he does believe that Lavonte David has a high ankle sprain. So those are normally 3-4 week injuries. So we might get very up close and familiar with how Kevin Minter will handle.
Then maybe even KJ Britt. We may get to see more snaps from him probably. KJ Britt.
You might see him dress and be more of a part special teams wise, but.
Yeah,
I don't know how much you would see KJ Britt on the field with the defense.
Yeah, Brent. Yeah, it's just all the responsibility and all the calls and all that stuff is now going to switch over to Devin White.
I guess Devin White's going to have a lot of pressure on him now. Definitely time for him to step up in a way. Going to have to step up, Devin White.
I don't think you have to worry about that. Yeah, I mean,
because now he becomes what, the other captain now, because it was him and Lavonte were the captains, so who. So, you know, he's going to be one of the only captains now, technically. Technically, Kevin Minter's the captain, but that was on special teams.
Yeah, I don't think that matters much as far as game day at all.
No.
It's more of a who gets to call the coin toss or the coin toss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's and whoever's got the green dot on the back of their helmet.
Yeah, which will be now Devin. Anything else for you, John? We're going to jump to Corey.
Okay. The penalties weren't horrible, and officiating wasn't bad this game. At least I'm not was really pissed off at the refs.
That's true. There were some ticky-tack calls, but none of them were egregiously bad.
God, because the past, like, I would say the past every other game, I was, like, furious at a lot of the calls. I'm like, at some of the calls that they didn't make, I'm like, what the? But today, though, was refreshing, so that was nice.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to kill every referee in the building and wanted to put replacement refs.
Yeah, you can't say that. FBI will show up to your house.
Yeah, don't be saying that.
I know, but I'm just, Well, essentially, no replacement refs this week. No replacement refs this time.
All right, John. Thanks, man.
All right.
Good to see you. Go Bucks.
Good to see you guys. Go Bucks.
All right. See you later. Now we head on over if we get his.
Hey.
There he is. Okay, Corey's been trying to find a signal.
You guys hear me?
Are you driving around Nashville trying to find a signal?
No, I'm going to. I play in an adult men's league basketball, so I'm going to my game.
Ah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I don't want to take for granted the fact that we're playing other professional teams, coaches, et cetera.
Right.
Tom Brady's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
And he literally unlocks what this offense is capable of because of his decision making, because of how quickly he deciphers information on the field. That throw he threw to Mike Evans, the deep one for the touchdown, I just don't understand how he's still able to do what he does at such a high level. Like, his arm looks live. Like, he got 3 to 5 years left in his arm. Like, he's amazing, and I'm really happy that he's our quarterback that the way that he is now. Man, like, I go by what I say, even what I said last week. You got to score 30 points to beat us, man. Our one loss, we gave up 30 plus, right? 34, mm-hmm. right? We put a lot of pressure on teams. Think about this for a minute. There was 1 minute left. A team that has not scored a touchdown, by the way, the entire second quarter of the season, like in second quarters of a season, are the Dolphins. Our offense put so much pressure on them, and this is why we defer. This is why we're deferring the ball now, because our offense forces you to be aggressive. Because you're going to kick the ball back. Now, we ended up punting our first possession in the second half, but it's a lot of pressure on other teams. Now, can you imagine if Shaq Barrett would have forced that? Because they were passing the entire drive. So can you imagine if Shaq Barrett would have forced that fumble on the left side of the field? We get a chance to steal more points, and then the ball comes back to us.
Right.
Our offense is starting to really put pressure on teams. And we were very fortunate to continue to be healthy on that side of the field. That fuck. Oh. But anyway, Lavonte Davis, so you said there were some reports coming that it may be a high ankle. It didn't look like an ankle sprainish to me, though. Because the way he was walking, it didn't look high. It didn't look high ankle sprainish to me. He jogged back to the locker room, and the X-rays were negative. And I just feel like at that point we would have known if it was a high ankle sprain when they told us the preliminary X-rays were negative. So I don't know. Maybe it swelled up some more.
Maybe that's just what BA said post game, was that his belief
that
it was.
BA said,
Yeah, he said that.
Okay. But he said he thinks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Well,
it's a
I love this part.
I'm sure it'll be reevaluated tomorrow. So.
Okay. Well, I love this part of our schedule coming up here, but I want to continue to talk about the ability to play my Super Bowl in certain instances. Last week, like you said, I don't want to talk about it. Let's just talk about what happened. Emotional week, we had a lot of things going against us that game, but we had a resolve. Now, this week, we were on fire on offense. Our defense was kind of we play really aggressive on the front end, but really soft on the back end. And it's mm-hmm. even at the second level, the linebackers should be. Our zone coverage to me is really soft. Their running back had what 11? Gaskin had what 11, 12 catches today? Like,
yeah, a lot.
That's just check down all game to get up the field. But that's not going to get you 30 points.
No.
So I have to take those things with a grain of salt. And that's honestly a lot of teams. That's the running game versus us. One, two, three, four, 5 yard passes. So some things you just got to take with a grain of salt. We got to tackle better. My last point, guys, and a lot of people pay attention to this. I know Carlton Davis is hurt, but him and Richard Sherman are probably two of the best tackling cornerbacks in the NFL, and we have to be very thankful for what they do as far as tackling. I watched Xavier Howard today, who gets paid like a top three corner. First of all, he got abused in the passing game, and then Leonard Fournette's touchdown run, which is like whipped so badly. He looks like a deep. I'm like, that guy gets fake. Jones has all of the ability in the world, but his lack of pass pro is an issue. Like, he's just not a lead back. And the ability to tackle on that back end is really what makes us a fierce team. I'm just so proud of this team right now to be 4-1, and it's a lot to be hopeful for this season with this part of my schedule coming up. And
I think we finally lost him.
Yep, I think he's finally gone.
When he went on that tirade about Xavier Howard, he was using the dump button on him.
Yeah, that's
all right,
called
Corey. I don't know if you can hear if you finally froze. Good stuff though.
I think he is right though when it comes to taking a look at Xavier Howard and what happened. I mean, we got asked on Friday if we thought that Xavier Howard was going to be following Mike Evans. Turned out that he was following Antonio Brown a lot, and you saw Antonio Brown a couple of times on the play. The 62-yard touchdown where Brady got, destroyed. He hung in there and threw just as he was getting hit. That was a great route by Brown, past Howard's face, getting away, and then using, was it Tyler Johnson?
Yeah.
That almost as a natural type of pick to go around and to cause a little havoc there. So he was able to score. And then you saw it a couple of other times where Brown was able to get past Howard and he ran the right routes and was able to and his route running is so good that he knew Tom knew exactly where he was going to be, exactly when he needed to throw the football, and when you do that, you end up with a 400-plus yard game.
There were some. Something else I noticed that I hadn't seen a lot of for a while, not only this year or last year, but Bucs receivers making plays downfield in the blocking game. Like one you pointed out, I don't know if AB would have scored if Tyler Johnson would have sort of peeled off his man and then, he stepped in front of Howard. Howard had to put the brakes on and then, AB takes it to the house, pulling away from everybody. But then the second Mike Evans touchdown, where Mike catches it and his back's to the goal line, he spins out of it, and here comes Jaden Mickens flashing on the screen.
Yep.
And he throws a block on the corner that had Mike and probably would have tackled him a little bit short. Maybe fell on his ankles. I don't know. That's just the angle that I looked at it. But, so Mickens picks that guy off, and Mike just walks into the end zone. So there were some really nice – and, of course, Godwin's always a nice downfield blocker. There were some, those were some big heads-up blocking plays out there. Tyler Johnson got in the game. He had a nice, reception from Brady. Actually, he got another one from Gabbert, too. Gabbert, the most underrated player in the history of the NFL for Bruce Arians. He went out there, was spinning it well, looked good. Mm-hmm. It was just... The thing that's disappointing was like, well, I wish Sneak Vaughn was active so I could watch him run in the fourth quarter. You know, these are the things that, yeah. You know, but we, I still feel like I want the defense to get home a little more, and especially when Brissett almost refused to run for that, you know, half quarter and a half thing after he pulled his hammy. Like, we should have dropped him a couple times, you know. Mm-hmm. They had his hands on him a couple times. He got out of it, you know, not only got rid of it, completed it. One, completed it for a first down. It's like, okay, like, you know, we're doing this today. But, so, I have to go back and look at it because I know we're getting a lot of pressure and I know teams are game planning us to get rid of the ball quick or throw right behind the penetration.
Yeah.
I know they're doing it. Like, three of the five teams we've played have done it. Actually, four of the five teams we played have done it. And that's their game plan. But like Corey said, that's not, 9 times out of 10, that's not going to get you 30 points unless you break like a couple of them for big games. So I don't necessarily want to, you know, hit the panic button on the pressure, you know, on the sacks. But for an offensive line that was totally reshuffled on a guy who truly was a statue, he still was completing passes. But then you have to add in, like I said, it was all short and this and that was their game plan.
Yeah, it was all gasket. I mean, you look at it, their longest completion of the game was 34 yards to Preston Williams. And I believe that was early in that may have been on the first drive of the game.
Right.
You know, I you look at, you know, some of these guys, yes.
Yeah, their first two was early. One was over 20, I think it was his second throw of the game.
Yep.
And then Sherman missed the tackle, took the wrong angle.
Yep.
And it was a short pass. It was like a 5-yarder that he spun out of and took it down the sidelines.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the guys that had you know, the longest receptions. I mean, Gaskin had the 24-yard was the touchdown. Right. Where he ran past JPP, where he looked like he was going out to the flat and then turned it into a wheel route.
Why is JPP wearing a club? If his shoulder's hurt, why is he wearing a club?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want anybody touching his nubs on his hand.
I don't know, but like he hasn't worn the club in like 2 years.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. But
that is a good question.
But Chisicki, you saw Jalen Waddle had an awful day. You know, 4 drops. He was targeted 6 times. He only made 2 catches.
Did he have 4 drops, really?
I don't know. All I know is he was targeted 6 times. He only had 2 catches. I know he dropped at least 2.
We'll give him all 4.
I'll give him all 4.
Let's give him a fifth one for the hell of it.
Just why the hell not, yeah. But yeah, I mean, so 6 targets, only 2 catches. I know he dropped at least a pair. He may have dropped a third, but... you know, I look at, you know, all of the production that the Dolphins had in the passing game came in that first drive, and that first drive ended in a field goal. Yeah. So, it's not a bad point to be in for sure.
So what was let's say, what was your favorite part of the game? Like, what was something that you were happy to see?
What was I happiest to see? I was happy to see, obviously I tweeted that, you know, smart play targeting OJ Howard.
Right.
I liked that they got OJ Howard involved early. They got Cameron Brate involved later in the game, mm-hmm. which was nice. Again, focus on the middle of the field to try and take some of the attention away from what all the power you have outside. I liked that, Ronald Jones got an opportunity and seemed to do it. While it wasn't, it's not like he rushed for 100 yards, but you know, when they did, yeah, when they got it, when they got him into the game, he was productive. You know, he averaged over 4 yards a carry, which is plenty fine. You keep doing that, and you're going to keep converting first downs at the time. So he didn't fumble the football, which was nice. He made an excellent catch, you know, out of the backfield, which you have not seen a lot of this year,
right.
Which I thought was big. And getting Blaine Gabbert in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
you know,
it's always nice to see the world's most underrated football player in the history of all professional sports.
And of course, what is Blaine Gabbert? What's the first thing that happens to Blaine Gabbert? Shotgun, he puts the ball on the ground.
Right, puts the ball on the ground.
And then gets a 15-yard, but then that caused a roughing the passer penalty for 15 yards.
Right, that's a good point. I'm kind of with you on that. Like, I like the, for 2 weeks in a row, the Bucs have gone over 100 yards rushing. I think that's very important. They made a commitment to it, you know, might have been in New England because, you know, the weather, mostly because they were playing dime, and that's what you do. Against the Dolphins, I'm not really sure, you know, if it was because that's what, you know, the Dolphins were playing light in the box and, you know, and trying to take away the outsides, you know, with their above average corners. So that let the Bucs, you know, run the ball. But, yeah, I thought Fournette ran the ball well, you know, good to very good. I thought Ronald Jones ran the ball good, period. And they went over 100 yards, and it was nice to see. And then, you know, Brady scrambled for like 13. Like Jets, old Jets Brady. I liked, again, I think it was very important to get a couple of throws to O.J. Howard. I thought it was very important that nothing bad happened to O.J. Howard, like a fumble or a drop. Same thing with Ronald Jones. Nothing bad happened to him. I thought that was good. And then defensively, I really don't, like, I don't, you can't make any sort of assumptions about what they have to do. You know, obviously Miami moved the ball against them, and they're not, you know, they're missing a lot of weapons. But you can't sort of say, hey, this is what Todd Bowles needs to do or should do or maybe try this, because right now you're just piecing it together with, you know, guys off the street and your fourth and your fifth corners and a dude who 2 weeks ago was, you know, riding his Peloton in San Francisco or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like... It's like you're winning. You really can't, you know, criticize the defense, especially the back end right now. It's just again, you know, it'll be the third or fourth time I said it, but it's like the NCAA tournament right now. Just survive in advance. Just keep clicking off the wins and then, you know, get healthy. And then you can start saying, hey, we need to do this or this needs to get better on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. You know what else was really good for you this week? Your picks on BetUS.
I know. I was a little quick reminder to everyone watching and listening. I did a 3-teaser parlay. Yeah. So I got to move the point spread 7 points. So I took the early game and I moved it to 9.5 and I took the Jets getting the points. They were down 10 and they had the ball. And they were driving. Now they're inside the 30 with like less than a minute to play. I'm like, okay, they got to score twice. So they're going to kick a field goal or score a touchdown. Just don't throw a pick or, you know.
Yeah.
But now we're getting down like 30 seconds. And Zach Wilson takes like a 22-yard sack and pushes the field goal back to 50 yards. And I'm like, okay.
No.
I don't know, you know, that he's old San Francisco defensive coordinator, the new head coach of the Jets. I'm like, I don't know how this guy thinks. And he goes, I saw him put the 3 fingers up. I'm like, oh, good, they're going for it. And the Jets kicked the field goal, and it squeaked in the post to cover, to knock it down to 7 from 10 to cover for him for the game.
Unbelievable.
Then I switched from Green Bay being +3.5, tease at 7, knocked it down to them getting 3.5.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bengals came out, scored a touchdown. Then they threw up like a Hail Mary right before the half and got that in there. Then the Packers came roaring back, and then a late touchdown by the Bengals. And it was 22-22, and then the ball's at midfield, and they're trading fourth downs. And I'm just like, somebody kick a field goal and end it. Then it goes to overtime. I'm like, no, because like, what if somebody scores a touchdown? You know, if the Bengals score a touchdown, then I lose. But I don't know if you heard me during the pod. You just heard me go, oh, thank God. Green Bay kicked a field goal.
To win.
Pretty late. So, yeah. So,
yeah, I covered so 25-22. And your third piece, you just need the Cowboys to win. And they're up 3 on the Giants right now. Yeah,
I just need the Cowboys to beat the Giants. And I win like $7 million.
Yep, he's gonna have $7 million from BetUS. Mine, I'm 1-1 so far this week.
You have a loss already?
Yeah, you know, I took. Well, the problem is that the Jaguars scored points.
The problem is why is there always a problem when on your bets?
Because my bets are problems. I took the Falcons in the London game, giving 2.5. So I came out with a win there, but you know, Jacksonville scored 19 points. They scored 7 points. I'm a winner. But that's so I took under 30, under 48.5 between the Titans and the Jaguars. And if I had teased them, I probably would have teased them up to 55.5. I probably still would have lost that game. So anyway, doesn't matter.
What'd you win? Which one did you win?
I won Atlanta. I lost the under. And then my other one is I have the Ravens -7. So that's Monday night.
All right.
All right. We'll talk more about that one on Wednesday. So,
well, this game sort of felt like the buildup did for it all week long, which most of it we were still talking about the Patriots game. You know, Wednesday, we're still talking about the Patriots game as far as like the national media and even the local people. So, you know, this game was just what it was. It was, don't turn the ball over. Don't anybody get hurt. Like, let's go out there and beat a lesser team. And they did. So,
yep.
The end.
They certainly did. Just like you beat up on your lesser picks, and are an opportunity to go 3-0 again this week and, prove why you are the better, and thanks to BetUS.
That's already proven. I think that's...
The better, thanks to BetUS.com. For 27 years, they have been providing the service and paying their winning customers. And you get an opportunity to bet on NFL and college games. By the way, I did win taking Texas A&M. I got 17 points, but they won outright. So that was a good one. That was a win for me. So there I did win on Saturday, thanks to Texas A&M. But you can bet on NFL. You can bet on college games coming up here later this week. The NHL gets started, and you can bet on NHL games. The NBA will get started later this week. You've got later this month, and you can bet on their NBA lines, and then also UFC, PGA, golf. And of course, Ren's favorite, the ponies.
The ponies.
And you can do so and get a fantastic signing bonus, or I should say sign up bonus, using our promo code. If you're watching on YouTube, it's right there below my face. The promo code is PewterC125. It's like Peter Cast, except drop the AST and put 125. There you get a 125% sign up bonus. So say you sign up, use the promo code PewterC125, and you deposit $100, you'll have $225 to wager with. And again, PewterC125, Pewter, the letter C, and the number 125 at BetUS.com. You bet, you win, you get paid at BetUS.
All right, well, the Rays game's on.
Yes, it is.
Are on. So yep. Let's let everybody get out of here. Let's go watch some baseball and football.
And, yeah, I'm gonna have the Cowboys and the Giants, because I'm invested in your betting. So I'm interested in watching that, and I'll have the Rays game on the other TV as well. So
Nofu has ruined it for all of us.
Oh, Nofu! All right, let's. Nofu's ruining it for everybody.
ruining our baseball watching.
Oh well.
Come back in. My sound's messed up. 2 seconds.
Okay. 1001. 1002. I gotta switch all the things.
Now switch everything back. I gotta switch.
Change my camera angle.
Thanks, right. Nofu. You son of an unnamed.
You got
joke.
20 seconds. Oh darn it.
All right, you made it.
Here we go.
AirPods.
There we go. You ready?
I'm making my AirPods.
All right. Okay. This is great content.
This, I know. Fantastic content.
We're watching Nofu walk around his
walk
house.
Through his house.
His AirPods. So he can talk to us about a dolphin's beatdown. Can you hear us?
Yeah, man. It's just... Oh, I can hear you now. Yeah, there's something weird about StreamYard with my iPad. Also, I got my new cup in today. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh. I bet that's a lot cheaper than the TB12 hydration flask, which I saw.
Simple Modern are my favorite. I'm not gonna like plug them, but they're only $30 for, and they're NFL like legit NFL like registered, so they're not like fake. They got NBA and MLB. Only $30, and they're really high quality. All day.
TB12 hydration flask is $64.
I'm good. I'm good.
Little much.
So I apologize, y'all. After the game, I just went straight into take my dog out, take care of him. So I didn't really get to hear what much people said, but it's something that's like at the beginning of the game, I was getting upset. It's only two things I want to talk about. One, I was getting upset because I'm like, why are we letting this team come close? So we talked about it last week. Like, teams are going to score, especially when you're starting for backups on defense. But I'm just going to real quick here, run down the list of just real quick, you know, games. We won 45-17, easily could have been 52-17, but we said, we'll stop right here on the 13-yard line.
45.
Vikings only beat the Lions by 2. Steelers beat the Broncos. Saints only beat the Washington Redskins football team, I apologize, by 11. Panthers lost to the Eagles by 3.
The Eagles came
Titans
back?
Did with. Oh, yeah, Eagles won 21-18. Yeah. Titans did what they should have done, 37-19. The Patriots came back to beat the Texans by 3. And we won, and the Packers barely beat the Bengals after both teams missed a combined 4 field goals by 3 against the Bengals. We beat a team 45-17. Like, we don't. Our defense right now does not have to be good because we're literally putting out a Pro Bowl offense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice. It's good. Like the other guy said last week after me, I ain't going to complain about a win. This feels good. Mm-hmm. But something that's bugging me, and again, this is not something like really bugging me, but it feels like teams are literally playing. They circle our name on the calendar and they go, this is our Super Bowl. We're going to put people out there, even if they're hobbling. Brissett, look, I bet you money he won't start next week. Patriots had to start new offensive linemen because they're all injured. I just feel like teams are literally just looking at us and saying, we're going to put everything on the line just to beat the Bucks. We don't care how the rest of our season goes. So those are the only things.
Yeah, obviously that's ridiculous, but...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. 100% ridiculous. It's
just, but I follow your logic. It feels like that. It feels like that. And you know, that's something everyone talks about, and we talked about, you know, under the sun. Like, you're gonna get the team's best shot, you know. But now you're actually like, you're like gonna get the team's best shot. And those are just words. But now you're like, you're seeing it, you know. Like the huge letdown for the Rams after, you know, it felt like they put their, like, if we're going to win one game this season before we make the playoffs and make our Super Bowl run, it's this Bucs game. Like, they've been prepping for that game for 5 weeks, it looked like. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they go and get blown out by the Cards. New England, you know, like, they, I don't have no idea how they came back, but they, you know, put up this great showing, big moral victory, come out and start laying again an egg against David Mills and the Houston Texans. David Mills, who was a whopping 2-for-8 with 3 interceptions last week through 3 quarters. So, you know, so these teams are putting every, you know, it seems like every game after the Bucs game is a trap game. And I'll have to see with Miami. I mean, you know, they didn't put up a great effort. So I guess it'd be hard for them to look even worse. And with Tua coming back, so it might not work out this week. But I hear what you're saying. And, you know, I was like that at the beginning too. Beginning of the game where it's like, okay, it's like seriously, like, are we gonna have to outscore the Dolphins like 45-38 to win this game? I'm like, is that what we're gonna have to do?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen. Like, you know, the Dolphins.
But still, the fourth quarter, why do y'all still have Brissett out there? Like, you literally see this man hobbling. Like, they literally, I think Romo said he was the first guy he's ever seen in his career and in his announcer career, a guy was carted to the locker room and then carted back out and still played.
Yeah, I know.
Like, but either way, I just wanted to say, yeah,
no, you're fine. Crushing dirt on it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just want to say, how do you guys? I'll be there for the Thursday night one. The only thing I'm gonna say, and then y'all can get to the Rays game, is someone needs to teach Tony Romo that anytime we enter the red zone, we fire the cannons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Nance said the same thing. It was like, wait a minute.
Oh, somebody preemptively fired the cannons. They only save it for scores. Nope.
Red zone.
I mean, we're just trying to catch up from the Super Bowl when we didn't allow to do it. Okay, so now we're gonna do it here. Yeah. But all right, gentlemen, you guys have a good time, and hopefully the Rays win. I'm not a Rays fan, but I'll be rooting for them right now.
All right, cool. Well, I was about to drop you before you finished speaking because you said you're not a Rays fan, but then you said you hope they win. Then
that's thumbs up.
You get I have nothing against the Rays. I'm a Tigers fan.
Too late.
Oh, even worse.
Tigers fan. What is this? What's wrong with this guy?
Tigers. Good Lord.
Jesus.
All right.
It's like the Browns fan of baseball.
Exactly. Good Lord.
I guess who is it now? Who's the crappy team now? The Jets fan.
No, Baltimore. Baltimore. Tigers. The Tigers are actually on their way up. If you're a Jets fan, you're probably an Orioles fan too, because they're really bad. All right, let's bounce on out of here. I will say that for Wednesday's show, looking at the Thursday night game against the Philadelphia Eagles, hopefully, and yes, you did deserve that.
Yes, no food.
We are looking at. I'm trying to get Josh Tolentino, who covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And who I have known for a long time because he used to cover the Rays for The Athletic, but is now with the Philadelphia Inquirer. So hopefully we'll have him here on Wednesday for Wednesday's show, and then we'll have more of your reaction on Thursday night after the game against the Eagles. But let's bounce on out of here. Ren, give us the Ren Addiction. Where do they find you?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always on Talk Buccaneers Football, but if you feel like your Twitter is too hot and don't want to put it on the Twitter, feel free to slide in my DMs. We'll talk Buccaneers Football with there as well, too.
Yep, man. At Steve Carney, safety9.com.
That's my mumble rap version.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
I don't even know what mumble rap is.
It's that.
Okay. at Steve Carney, Twitter and Instagram, safety9.com for the Rays, PeterCast.com for all things Bucks. Subscribe to the PeterCast wherever you get your favorite podcast. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio app. Thank you to our sponsors, Manscaped and BetUS.com. And we will get on out of here. Until Wednesday, Ren, go back to yourself.
Go Rays.
Go Rays.